Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our special What a Success show tonight. We are going to be recapping the Oscars. This is one of your hosts, V.S. Grenier. We also have Marsha Casper-Cook and Bennett Pomerantz with us, and Bethany Cross will be handling our chat room, so you can follow us along in there as well. It is February 27th. It is 10 p.m. Eastern time. And if you missed the Oscars, we're going to be filling you on everything that happened, everything that didn't happen. We're going to be critiquing what we thought of the Oscars, everything from fashion to the nominees all the way to the winners. So welcome to the show, everybody. How are you?
Hello. Hi. Hello.
I'm alive, maybe even kicking.
Well, I guess we should let people know, because we haven't done the What a Success show for quite some time. I think
We haven't. I know.
We took the holidays off and haven't brought it back. So it's back. We have new banners for like all of our shows. But the What a Success show, which used to be on Fridays, is now moving to the second Wednesday of every month. Obviously, this isn't the second Wednesday of the month because we're at the end of February, but we had the Oscars Sunday, so Bennett and Marsha are like, yeah, we should be doing a show. And I'm like, okay, we'll do a show. And they're like, Mom, Virginia, let's do a show. So we're doing the show, but we will be.
We sound like Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland. Hey, Tim,
how do
you put on a show?
Like dialogue? Are you doing dialogue?
Wait a second, I'm dating myself for saying that now.
Everybody's going, well, she's a writer. I hope she can dialogue. Anyway,
let's just say one thing to Bennett. Bennett, your birthday tomorrow. You reminded us all. We'll tell everybody it's Bennett's birthday tomorrow.
It's a national holiday. Golden Spike Day.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So everybody just know you can call your boss and say, I'm not coming in. It's national holiday.
Right.
And
I get paid. Either that or you can call it Spock's birthday or St. Swithin's Day. You have a choice. Or you can say it's my birthday and take off. You know, it's up to you guys, not to me, you know.
Just remember, Bennett, you got to start counting backwards now. That's how it works.
No. I admit to 54. I will take that.
It's because you're a guy. Guys don't mind.
Yeah. Hey,
guys,
I'm a guy, yeah. It's 54.
Girls,
I don't mind
being
old. Oh,
my gosh, I'm getting horribly old.
In Hollywood, a lot of the stars, they're all the same age, I've noticed. They're all 56. They don't move from that age group. They're 56.
Well, we could always be Jack Benny and stay 39, right. You know.
Yeah, there you go. Well, but you got to think about it. The men can keep aging and keep working. How many women can age and not keep working?
Maggie Smith. You know, I'll tell you something. This is like the first year that there's a lot of people that are not 20 years old. That's a good thing.
Oh, I know.
That's a good thing.
Well, and it was nice to see Sally Fields, you know, get nominated.
Yeah.
And the fact, I mean, she's been in the industry for how long? And she still looks good, you know. I'm sure there's some Botox and some plastic surgery obviously happening with a lot of these stars. But
they,
at least they're keeping it natural, you know, so they don't look like all of a sudden, you know, I don't know, Gumby happened to their face. I have no idea.
You mean Botox? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, no, even with the plastic surgery, you know, you're just like, okay, enough's enough. Anyway, but no, I
well,
was very...
You know, I think Sally Fields shows her age and shows it well.
Yeah, she's graceful.
She's very graceful, but also, even though I disliked her when she was like, you like me, you really like me, I hate that. Yeah. You know, but she is an actress. I mean, it was a horse race this year, getting to what the show's about. It was a horse race this year because she could have won the Oscar against Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
There was that much going for her. I mean, she won the Palm Springs and she won a couple of other awards. And it came close. It was a horse race between her and Hathaway. The other candidates, hey, we don't need to worry about them. That was the two that they were really focusing on.
Well, let's talk about, obviously, the host, Seth MacFarlane, because, I mean, that's been the big, you know, obviously, everybody knows when it comes to the Oscars, whoever's hosting it is the majority of the show because they have to put the show together, and they have to make sure it keeps running. They have to keep people entertained. Otherwise, we start, you know, falling asleep and not caring who Best Picture is because it's too many hours away. So, and I know the three of us have kind of had some conversations before the show today, kind of getting geared up for the show and stuff. But what did you guys think of Seth MacFarlane overall? I mean, out of all
I thought he did a great job.
Okay,
I'm going to say two words about Seth MacFarlane. We need Billy Crystal. That's all. Billy Crystal.
You know what?
They
wanted to attract a young audience, and they had more than ever before. They had a lot of viewers listening, or because now everybody's on, you know, the computer or the readers. They're getting shows, you know. And so I think this was one of their biggest turnouts. So I think he brought young people there, and I think that's what they need, you know.
I think they wanted to try to pull his Family Guy, his New Flintstones.
Saturday Night Live. He was the
Saturday Night Live. Ted, and even though he did bring Ted with him, you know, they wanted to bring all that kind of thing, and of course Stewie from Family Guy, and they didn't do that, you know, even though he was cute in some segments.
But you can't
really
do that.
Some of the jokes fell flat,
the Trapped
Family Singers, and the gentleman comes out and says, they escaped. You know, no, it didn't work.
I think he did a really great job. I really do, because it really is. I think it was a better show than usual, although they could have done a lot of other things. But, you know, it's already three and a half hours, so there's only a certain amount of time they could be on.
Well, I think he did I agree. You know, and obviously all over the Internet you can find his good and worst moments, obviously, as the host. I didn't care for the Von Trapp joke. I thought that was kind of, you know, stupid, and we'll get into the whole Year of the Musical thing in a second. But I didn't care for the backstage little back-and-forth thing with Sally Fields. I was like, okay, whatever. I didn't think that was all that funny. I'm sorry.
I agree with you. I think some of it was a nice bit of sketch comedy. That was like when, I forgot who did the Emmys, was it Fallon, or I think it was Fallon, or was it Kimmel, I'm not sure which, where everybody he went into the ladies' room and everybody beat him up, you know, it's like, no, I mean, it's the same kind of thing, you know, it had that moment kind of thing that didn't work for me. Crystal would have the opening where he would, of course, appear in all the movies. If they would have did that with MacFarlane, I think it would have been cute because they had done all the promo ads where him and Bond and him and Psycho. I would have loved to have seen him being a insurance inspector and the house fell on the witch. It was like, you know, something like that would have been funny.
Yeah, well, you know, I do have to say what I did really like about the Oscars, and I liked about the, I mean, and I know it wasn't the whole way through, but you know, the fact that they were trying, they didn't stick to it at all times, but you know, we're trying to do the old Hollywood, you know, the glamour of Hollywood, and I loved a lot of the acts, you know, that it was, you know, they did the soft shoe and you know,
a
lot of the different
the problem is they forgot to invite the old Hollywood.
I agree.
Upset me was they said this is the Year of the Musical.
Oh, wait,
and
wait,
yes,
wait,
they
wait.
Had
you're
Barbara Streisand.
Hold on,
go ahead,
hold on.
I'm sorry.
You're the musical.
They had to a happy refrain, just singing in the rain.
And that is Seth MacFarlane singing in the rain.
Then why didn't
Go
they?
Figure.
You know, they had an opening that was that like that, but it died so quickly.
It did.
And what, you know, I mean, Seth MacFarlane doing the song that everybody remembers was not from a musical. And everybody
too. It was a Disney musical.
I'm not talking a Disney. If that's a Disney musical, we're in a lot of trouble.
Oh, we saw your boobs.
I mean, I was
like, just waiting for me to say it first, of course.
There's so many musicals they could have done. They had Christopher Plummer there, and they didn't salute the Sound of Music, and they could have had Plummer, even though he did, of course, do the best supporting Academy Award nomination, which was fine, which he's supposed to be doing. But they had Plummer there. They had other people there. They could have invited Debbie Reynolds. They could have invited some of the others. I mean,
that's one of the problems with the Academy. What they do is they just put the people that have been in, around for the last year and a half or so, and they don't put in the older or even not even that old. They just don't have a lot of people in the past. They have just what's happening at the time.
I think it's more the popularity contest. I mean, and the reason why I say that is because there were actors and actresses there that haven't really had anything phenomenal or substantial or even nothing come out in the last year, year and a half. But they're still big names. I mean, for example,
are you talking Clooney?
Well, yeah, Clooney. I mean,
Clooney was the producer of Argo.
He was the producer, though.
I know that. But I'm just saying. But Jack Nicholson, you know, he's a name everybody knows. He's sitting right there in the front row. They made a joke right with Jack Nicholson.
They made a couple of them, but I love the Ted joke, where Ted goes, "Where's the party? Where's the party? What party? The Hollywood orgy. Oh, it's at Jack Nicholson's house," and they pan to Jack. I mean,
yes.
Jack is like the L.A. Lakers. They pan to Jack.
Which I'm a huge Laker fan, and I'm a huge Jack Nicholson fan, but he hasn't done anything recently, but he's a name that everybody knows in Hollywood. So I think if you're not a current name in this generation, that you know when the awards are happening, or if you haven't been somehow involved with recent movies and whatever productions coming out, I agree with Marsha. I think they really kind of dropped the ball on.
Thought about somebody that wasn't there. Tom Hanks wasn't there.
Tom Hanks is filming a nice movie.
Yeah, same with DiCaprio, because he wasn't there either for the same reason. He was actually out on a yacht with a whole bunch of bikini-clad women.
He was on a yacht, but he was filming a movie that day or working on this or whatever.
But
Hanks
was doing the new Disney movie,
playing Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And that's next year, I bet you that will be an Oscar nominee, because he's playing Disney, who bought the script of Mary Poppins from P.L. Travers, which I expect Hanks will be nominated again, I bet.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
I love
playing
him.
Disney.
I don't care what he does. He could just sit there and I like him.
Well, then you need to see Killing Lincoln, the National Geo special, because Hanks does all the narration.
He's great.
And it's weird to think he started, and I always think back when I first saw him as an actor on Bosom Buddies.
Yeah.
We're all dead. But the thing is, he hasn't won something in 15 years either. I mean, his last one was Forrest Gump.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm sorry. I think, you know, it's like De Niro. He needs another one to put on. He needs three to put on the mantle shelf.
Yeah.
I think, truthfully, I think a lot of the actors, though, they don't. I don't know that they care as much as they used to, because they're happy to be working. So I don't think that they're in the age group that they're in years ago, like even the last 10 years, a lot of people weren't in them. Now they're back in the movies. And I think, Alan Arkin, you know, he was back in. And I think that's good.
Well, I think of Robert Downey Jr. I mean, after his nice slump and that he went through, and I thought it was very funny that him and Samuel L. Jackson kind of joked a little bit about that slump. But you know, it was nice seeing him back. And
there's one person that I miss, but he's in jail. It's Wesley Snipes. I love him. can't do anything.
Well, he's coming out soon, and he's already signed for the. Third Stallone movie, The Expendables 3, he's already signed. Jackie Chan and Jet Li and Stallone and Jason Statham.
Well, and Schwarzenegger, I know, starting obviously to get back into the game after being governor of California. So it is nice to see a lot of these guys that you're right, that we haven't seen for a while coming back around. But let's get back to the Oscars and not the what if people yet, because hopefully that'll be next year. But so let's quickly talk about people's dress, because obviously being the fashionista of my past, not that I'd like call myself.
I think a lot of them looked great.
I think doing the old Hollywood style and going with that theme was the best thing, because I have to tell you, it was nice to see for the first time on the red carpet the girls covering up. You know, or even when they had plunging stuff, it was done in a great.
Yeah, they looked great.
I think they followed the Emmys and said, hey, and the Tonys and the Grammys of like, hey, we don't want we don't want another Cher thing.
Yeah, we don't need the boobs hanging out, you know, because otherwise Seth MacFarlane would have been singing "We Saw Your Boobs in a Movie" with them. We saw your boobs on the red carpet. And
Anne Hathaway, I loved it. The front was covered and the back looked great. She had that backless. It was nice.
Yeah, I know people, because I did notice that, because when she first got up in that dress, I went, did she forget the pasties? See, I can talk about being from Fredericks of Hollywood. I was like, did she forget the pasties? Because at first it looked like she was kind of, you know, I was thinking of when she did the Devil's Wear Prada. And Danny Dougie did the whole make sure they're pointing, you know, forward, you know, comment. And I was like, and then I realized it was the darts on the dress. And I know everybody's making the comments that those were some poorly placed darts because it was making her look like she was darting. But other than that, it was a gorgeous dress.
Yeah, I think
it was a beautiful dress.
I think they look good. I really do it for
Did love this year, though, is everybody, Anne Hathaway, Ben Affleck, a lot of people think they're husbands and wives. I don't know if they got the memo this year or what. You know, usually you get the, you forgot to thank your wife or your husband. You're going to head for divorce.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're very nervous when they win. I mean, they're used to having lines in a movie. And, you know, I think when you have to go up there and it's just like you're in a category that there's really great actors or actresses, I mean, and they win, it's so shocking to them. You know, you can see it on their faces. They just don't think they're going to win.
Yeah.
Well, no, Clooney, I think, had an idea he was going to win, but he, and I say this, he can act, and he does a great job acting, but, you know, he said his partner did all the talking. He just nodded and smiled because he's naked without lines or without a script. And Ben Affleck, of course, I loved his thanking to his wife, which I thought was wonderful. Yeah. And, of course, Grant Hedlow, who is Clooney's and Affleck's partner, producing partner in Argo, thanked Ben because Ben, of course, couldn't thank himself and should have, you know, everybody said that, you know, Ben should have been nominated for director. And that's fine. But the thing is that he thanked his wife.
But he won in a category that was incredible. So I'm, like, happy for him.
You guys went off the fashion thing. You guys are back to...
Yeah, well,
hey, fashion was beautiful. It was great.
Okay, but there was
what I loved about the fashion this year was it was done in taste. There was nobody looking like they came from Trash Can Alley.
Okay, yes, there was, and there totally was somebody who looked like they came. And I know you're gonna say, well, she was on Pink Hills. I don't care. She always looks like that. I'm sorry, Kristen Stewart. Looked horrible.
Oh, Kristen Stewart always looks like that. Come on.
I think she wears
that black number. She wore that black number in the Golden Globes, too. I mean, no offense, she looks like a little goth waiting to happen.
Well, I thought
she had white on. She was wearing
white. She had white on when she presented.
No, she had black when she presented. I know.
No, she had white on.
She did? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what she did, though? I think she might have hurt her. She hurt herself.
She was on Percocet or she was on something because she was limping. You could see the limp.
Yeah, she was limping, but she always looks drugged out. And I'm sorry, everybody had their hair done. I did not. I mean, even the women who had their hair down and flowing, you can tell it was professionally done. I looked at Kristen Stewart and said, did you roll out of bed and run your fingers, like shake your hair with your fingers really quick and spray it? Because she totally looked like she had bedhead. I am sorry. I looked at her and just went, I did. I poked my husband, like, and you still think she's pretty?
Well, no. I think Kristen Stewart goes near the light exchange, puts her finger in the socket, there's on.
I get
that feeling with Kristen Stewart. You know, she's that kind of goth that she would stick her finger in the light socket and go, you know, it's done.
Yeah,
and
just,
go off.
I thought she looked gorgeous. And I do have to say, the dress that Adele wore when... you know, when she came up for her nominee, you know, when she went for her award and stuff like that, after she sang the long black dress, she looked phenomenal. I think that dress was good for her. The length was good. The fact that it dragged, you know, because she is a short lady, it worked. But when she was singing on stage, and I mentioned this to Bennett earlier today when we were talking.
Are we talking Shirley Bassey or Adele?
No, I'm talking about Adele. When they came back, you know, because they kept a close-up on her, because she is. I know she's short. I think she's like 5 foot.
Five maybe. Nothing, yeah.
Yeah, she's like 5 foot, 5'1" at max. Anyways, but when they're up close, I was like, oh, okay. But then when they started panning back, we could see the whole stage. I thought she was coming up out of the ground because she looked like she was cut off at the knees. I was just like, oh, darling, you should not be wearing that dress with those black heels because it looks like you just lost, like, from your whole calf. I mean, she looked like she was just, like, kneeling, singing. I mean, it was just, it was not a good dress for her.
I know they, okay, even though Adele had her spot, I think they should have did, and I'm going to jump ahead a little. Let's
no,
talk
we're
a little.
Not going to Bond yet. Can't
we're not
Bond
going
yet.
To Bond yet? Okay, because
okay.
I thought
no Bond
we,
yet.
Because we're talking Adele.
No, I'm talking fashion, Bennett. Stay on fashion here. I know this is hard because you're a guy, but.
I'm a guy. We don't do, you know,
okay,
we let's say this way. All the guys
was
this year, including
noticed?
Bradley Cooper, wore a tie.
Yes, I was trying to tell you guys were wearing bow ties, not ties, actually. But what was up with the beards? Was it like Beard Fest at the awards?
I think it was Beard Fest, yeah. But, you know, it's funny. Jennifer Garner, Affleck, whatever you want to call it, had the clippers and said, if you win the award, you shave the beard. And she brought
she
the clippers
and
clipped them right after the award.
Yeah, there was a whole shaving party at the after party for Affleck. Yeah, I know.
Do you think a lot of people don't like the
women were dressed spectacularly.
Do you think a lot of people don't watch the Academy Awards? Because a lot of people aren't that excited about it. Sandra, do you want Bethany, do you want to say something about that?
No, I don't watch it.
Yeah. Okay, and tell me
why don't you watch it?
That's
no,
I'm
curious
that,
why
I
watch
want
it?
To know because you love movies, okay? You love movies. I know you do. So why is it that you don't watch them?
Yeah, but they spend 90 minutes on the red carpet.
I don't have to have somebody else tell me what I'm going to watch.
Right. That's true.
I watch the awards for two reasons. The first reason I watch the awards is its habit from being in the fashion industry.
I always watch it.
I had to watch it for the fashion industry because every fashion buyer, and I don't care if they're all going, that's not true. It is true. They all watch every single award because we need to, basically, we're either going to go right to the designer if you're in the designer lines and say we need that too, or they're going to do the knockoff thing. So I watch it for that, and it's ingrained after
Over 15 years. Bethany, you think people watch it, like you don't watch it because you don't care what the critics think or what if they get an award. Is that?
I got a
Yahoo post. Somebody gave me a thing about this. They said Melissa McCarthy's stylist should have been fired for the Oscar outfit she wore. Not her hair, just the outfit and how it came across. She looked matronly.
She did.
You know what, though? You know, I saw her movie, you know, that she just did, Identity Theft. And, you know, she's really funny. She's really, you know, and they, like, pull her apart. She's never going to be 20 pounds. She's great. She's funny. And I think they're really hard on her because she's not thin, but I thought she looked great, I look at her that way. And just in general, I think she's really funny. She's a good actress. And I think they can't wait to say something about her. And to her, I don't even think she cares at all.
Well,
because if she did.
It wasn't more so, I think, and I know why the matronly comments being made. It wasn't the cut or, you know, and the way the dress was on her, because it did. It was a good fit that way. It was the pattern, and then she had the matchy shoes. And when you do that, it gave it the matronly look. I think.
And somebody said her hair too was messed up. I'm reading from. I'm getting responses too.
I thought her hair looked great.
I thought her hair looked fabulous too.
Because
don't
shoot
me. I'm just reading the responses here.
I know.
I think she looked great, and I think they're really hard on her. And I think what she does is she'll be going to the bank collecting money because she's getting in these movies, and she's really funny, and she's proving that she can do more than one type of character. She's good. You know, and I think, you know, when they see someone that's not the same weight as them, they're, like, so critical of her. And, you know, really, I thought for her, like, her hair looked great. I think she looked fine. You know, I think she's a good actress. I like watching her, and she can deliver a great line. And I think they're really hard on people like her because they want some reaction. And I think what she does is doesn't give them the reaction, and that's what drives them crazy. She just says, okay, fine. Fine, whatever, you know. I thought her hair looked great.
I think this year, and then we can move off from the fashion. But I definitely think out of all at least for the last 5 years, I just kept going, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm sorry. I was like, are we trying to do, like, you know, the Hollywood, you know, Boulevard hooker thing? Because it was getting pretty bad. So it was nice to see the glam back. It was nice to
see
true style and true fashion back in the awards.
If they had the old Hollywood, I think they really needed to have some of the old Hollywood there that really weren't there. And they're wonderful actresses and actors. And, you know, I mean, you know, they don't take advantage of them like they should, because they would be happy. I don't know how they pick the award people. You know, I know... Mm-hmm. who comes there, but I know they have people, if there's somebody's out of the seat, they have people to go sit in the seats, you know, so it looks like it's whatever. But, I think it is tough. It's a very tough show, I think, because, you know, if one wrong move, everybody and their brother's on them, you know. And I think it's just, I always feel like, even though I write scripts and stuff, but I do feel they're hard on the actors and actresses, because they're just like regular people that have gotten... Yeah. You know, big salaries, and they're good actors, but they really pick them apart a lot.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, because this is what annoyed me also, is if you saw the Grammys and Adele won her Grammy, and I'm saying this for a reason, and that gentleman from, I think it was Poland or whatever, just appeared. You know, he's kissed Will Smith, and he's done water in Tom Cruise's face, and he's been a nuisance, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he just went into, you know, they didn't have that in the Oscars, even though many, many years ago, and I'm dating myself, David Niven in The Streaker was the other, you know, but they didn't have that. I think they tightened security so much, because with all the stalking and everything else lately, it's frightening.
It is frightening for them. Yeah, it is. They get, you know, we don't even know half of the stuff that really happens to them.
Yeah.
I think they're scared a lot. They're just regular people. In general, they're regular people that do roles. And, you know, it really is sometimes very sad of what happens to them, because, you know, sometimes it's too fast where they get, you know, they're too young and it happens fast, or they're older and they just don't even have them at all. But I think that, you know, I think that they are making some changes in Hollywood, I think, because we could see some of the older stars coming back into the movies, which is a good thing, and they have old and young, which is how I write, too. I write, you know, multi, because you have different age groups. I think people like that, and it brings young people out, and that's what I said at the beginning with Seth. They wanted somebody young, and I think they got what they wanted.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
got a lot of young people watching.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that, because we all know
James Bond.
That Bond was at their 50-year big hype at the Academy, but they hardly did anything after hyping it up.
I know.
The montage they did, and I'm sorry, I like Halle Berry, but her coming out and, like, and the Bond girl, you know, that I was my
favorite.
But they
are all alive, so they are all alive.
Well, she is a Bond girl, but they could have had two or three of them.
You don't think Halle Berry. She's not the Bond girl that comes to mind when you hear Bond.
Well, you could have gotten Honor Blackman. And Honor Blackman, you could have gotten Jane Seymour. You couldn't got Halle Berry, whatever.
What about James Bond, though? What about all the James
Bond?
Yeah, we're going to get to that in a minute. Trust me, I am ticked off at this. They could have flown in. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm using the theatrical term. They could have put up an Aston Martin and had the Bonds coming out of the door like a clown car almost. They had an Aston Martin coming out or whatever, and having Connery and Moore and all the Bonds to appear for 1 minute for a great photo op, and having them come out of an Aston Martin or a couple of Bond cars or whatever you want to do, and it would have been lovely to have that. It was the 50th, and they could have just shown everybody.
Yeah.
I don't care about the money right then. It was like, it was a tribute, and you should have had them there. I mean, pull Connery out of retirement. Pull Moore out of retirement.
I was very, very, I mean, because they hyped it so much. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is going to be so good. And then when they did the montage, I'm going, okay, I saw, and I started counting how many times you saw each, you know, Bond, you know, his face. And I was like, okay, I think I saw Connery the most. I saw a couple of Roger Moore, a couple of Pierce. I think one of Dalton.
One of Lazenby.
Yeah. I mean, obviously they focused on our new Bond because, you know, his movie Skyfall just came out. But I was like, wow, That's it. And I mean, and I agree. I mean, I was expecting more like an iconic James Bond lady, you know, Bond girl to come out, or all of the Bonds to show up together like they did with the cast from Chicago. That would have been so. I needed more oomph.
I wish
sad.
That they said they would have had that photo op. Would have been lovely. It would have made the Academy look like they at least had something to do rather than just throw it together.
Well, and even the music. I was surprised that they, I mean, they did sing Goldfinger. They did sing Skyfall. But I was kind of surprised that they didn't, you know, because I know all three of us talked about this before the show, too. You know, they could have easily done 30 seconds, you know, up to 60 seconds of each song quickly.
Yeah, but they also, Shirley Bassey did three Bond tunes. And they only had her doing Goldfinger. They could have seeped into doing Diamonds Are Forever,
which is
her other big Bond hit.
Yeah.
Moonraker I'm not too thrilled with. You know? But they could have had Carly Simon for 2 seconds doing Nobody Does It Better,
well,
Makes Me Feel Sad For... And it was like, yeah, you know, you could have had some of these tunes. And as much as I don't like... Madonna's view, Madonna's little escapade in the Bond music. Still, you had Duran Duran. You could have had even, dare I say it, Sir Paul McCartney doing "Live and Let Die." You could have had at least somebody doing something, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Whatever they decide what they're doing, I guess they really have to worry about time, though. That's the whole thing. The time, and there are so many awards.
If they're going to say and make a big deal about saying it's a 50th anniversary, throw a little money in it. Throw a little time in it. The montage took them a couple of minutes. That's fine.
Well, and I felt they threw more at the Year of the Musical comment than they did at the Bond thing. And I thought there'd be more Bond stuff sprinkled through. I felt it was more musical stuff. Not that I didn't like it. I did like it. But I'm going, but Les Miserables. I know. Blah, blah, blah.
John Travolta. I love how he said Les Miserables.
Yeah, I know. He got the blah in there. Anyways, the point, they didn't even win for Best Picture. So it was like, okay, I know you all thought that was going to happen, and it didn't. And so Bond got shafted. Because of it. That's how
I think it's such a hard show that seems to be that they plan. It really is. I don't know, you know, but, you know, it just seems to be that they sometimes, it depends who's running the show, who does it, and what they do with it, because that's what, you know, some people want to do more musical. I think that they spent a lot of money on this show, I think.
Oh, they did. They definitely
did. Well, they
did.
Spent money, and yet they didn't. I mean, what annoyed me is, they only focused on Chicago as musical. And the only reason they focused on, called it the Year of the Musical, is the same producers that won the Oscar for Chicago got the Chicago cast. If they would have had Debbie Reynolds with Olivia Newton-John, which, of course, Xanadu and Singing in the Rain, would have been lovely. You would have had, having them presenting instead of having, you know, they may have said who, and they may have said,
I think people know who Olivia Newton-John is. I mean, because Grease is still very popular.
I would have loved to have seen Liza and Joel Grey. They both won Oscars for Cabaret. There you go. They would have had Ben Vereen from All That Jazz. Glee can do All That Jazz. Erotica, whatever, from the movie All That Jazz, and make a big deal about it, and they couldn't even bring it on the Oscars. I don't mean the dirty version. There is a cleaner version that they did on Glee. And you get Lea Michele, who is an up-and-coming, and she's got 3 or 4 singing movies she's doing soon, animated, but still singing. You know, get her to sing, you know, from that or...
Oh, she's a great singer, and she did, and she, well, didn't she...
She's more Broadway, but the thing is, they could have gotten some people who can sing. Even though Lea Michele is known for Glee, still she is a young enough Hollywood that they could pull that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in L.A. It's not that the film, it's not that Glee shoots in New York. They do a couple of shots in New York, but it's only filmed in California. So the point is, they could have got somebody. They could have got Chris Coffer, even though it's Glee, Chris Cofford does enough show tunes from Les Mis and everything else that they could have gotten him to do something. They have so much good musical talent these days, and they didn't touch it when the Year of the Musical.
Yeah.
Well, Ryan Murphy, he didn't, you know, he does Smash, you know, the TV show. So, I mean, he's very talented. I mean, there's a lot of real talented people, you know, and the Grammys did a good job only because they had Justin Timberlake. You know, I mean, I don't know if they don't want to copy, but you really don't know what they're thinking, because that's how Hollywood is. You don't know what they're thinking, and, you know, they plan this thing in a year in advance. So I think sometimes it's already planned and they don't change it.
No, the Oscars are usually planned 4 or 5 months in advance, yeah, but the thing about it is they don't usually know until about 2 to 3 weeks before. And, I mean, Streisand was going to watch the thing at home, and she said, "Are you doing a tribute?" And they said, "Yeah," and the producers asked if she would sing, of course, The Way We Were for Marvin, and she said, "Sure."
Yeah.
That's the only reason she did it. I mean, they could have had her doing On a Clear Day or Hello, Dolly, or some of the other musicals that she was known for.
Yeah.
I tell you right now, I can tell you one thing. I don't know her personally, but there is no way she's going to do Hello, Dolly again. I could tell you that. There's no way.
She could do, and she does it in Iraq. On a clear day, you can see forever.
Yeah, but she's not going to do Hello, Dolly, because that is a huge production, and she's not
doing
it. She
could have
done it.
They
could have
gotten clips. Come on, the Academy gives the clips.
I just felt they could have done more, and for the Year of the Musical, and I think they definitely could have done way more for Bond with how much they're building up the 50th of Bond. I was very, very sad to see that it was so quick.
Well, I think on one of the news shows I was watching, I think Roger Moore was talking about how he loves, you know, Daniel Craig, you know, and that would be something to even like show as a little interview, because I mean another James Bond liking another James Bond is a very interesting thing, because
Connery liked Pierce Brosnan, and he even said it in an interview or two.
And I think those would have been cute clips, and that's why I think having all of them up there together would have been really, you know, fun watching them play off each other for that reason. Okay, so
as long as you brought that up, okay, so this is the way Hollywood is. Okay, now being an agent and a screenwriter, this is why there's a huge problem in Hollywood, because to get a film made, you need to have a lot of money, and a lot of the producers of the movies now are the ones in the movies. So I think that that's a huge issue, and they're controlling that part of it, and a lot of people that have screenplays that are absolutely great are not getting anywhere, they don't have money, and they can't get producers. So, I mean, so you see a certain amount of people that are out there 1 year, but imagine, you know how many movies are made in a year? A lot, and some of them don't get out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's a shame, because they don't even give them more than a week. They don't even,
glad to see that they actually did recognize that. And I love the fact that they had the students, you know.
Yeah, that's a great
helping
thing.
Because you're right. It is such a tough industry for that reason. So I do have to give the Academy
I put the Chicago guy's name that goes to Columbia, because I'd like to see if he can come on the show. I'd like to see what happens.
Yeah.
I want to see what happens.
I
think it's great.
I want to ask you guys, so before we get off Bond and move on to the nominees and the different winners, who's your favorite Bond? Go ahead, Marcia. You can give us from 1 to 3 or just your all-time favorite. I don't care.
I'm going to say that I don't really have a favorite Bond. I like the movies, but I don't have a favorite one. But I do love Daniel Craig as a performer. I just like him a lot. I love Pierce Brosnan. I really like them, you know, and I love, you know, I do like Pierce Brosnan a lot, you know, and I think he's not too old to play James Bond again.
Oh, thank you for saying, because I told Bennett that he made that comment. Bennett's like, no, he didn't. I'm like, oh,
yes, he did.
He
thought he
was too old to play Bond. I'm a huge Pierce fan.
No, he's not,
and I'm sad that they replaced him so fast with Daniel.
I say this, James Bond will always be a superhero without a cape.
Yes.
he also was very cool. I mean, he was the epitome of cool. Daniel Craig, to me, is the epitome of steaming hot and boiling. It's not Bond. I'm sorry. Daniel Craig may play him like somebody says, oh, he plays him like the book. No, it's not my Bond. My Bond, of course, gets Bond. James Bond.
Yeah, but they have him because they have, you know, different people in the, you know, they have him because Daniel Craig does well with the other people that are involved in it.
Daniel Craig is the, in my opinion, the worst Bond. The best Bond will always be Connery, Sean Connery.
Yeah.
The second favorite will be Brosnan, Pierce Brosnan. And the third, okay, to me, he will always be the saint, but he will always be, in my heart, my third favorite Bond is Roger Moore.
Yeah,
and
if you ever
saw a movie, and by the way, they had this year, Hal Needham was nominated for the Cannonball Run, won an Oscar, honorary Oscar.
Uh-huh.
And Hal Needham did one of the best movies with Roger Moore and Burt Reynolds and Dom DeLuise called the Cannonball Run.
Yeah.
And
you know what,
Roger Moore played Sidney
like
Goldfarb, who thinks he's Roger Moore. Not Roger Moore. Roger Moore.
It's actually
and
Sir. Sir
they
Roger.
Had 8 bars of the Bond theme. They almost got sued for 8 bars of the Bond theme. And they get to use an Aston Martin. And the only because Roger Moore interceded did they not get sued. And
I love the Cannonball Run.
Yeah.
I love Roger Moore. And when I was growing up, Roger Moore was already Bond. I'd seen some of the Sean Connery ones, and my favorite movies are the ones with Sean Connery, believe it or not. But Roger Moore to me is Bond because that was the first Bond I knew, where I really recognized Bond and knew who Bond was. So that's why Roger Moore always be the first one because I think it's more nostalgia for me. And then it's Connery, and then Pierce, and which is weird because I'm a huge Pierce fan, but. His Remington Steele cheese smile that I absolutely love and adore, when he does it playing Bond, I'm going, no, not this character to be smiling with that.
They have a Bond 50th edition. And what annoys me is my favorite Bond is not even in that one, and it's not the Casino Royale with David Niven playing Bond.
Yeah.
It's the Sean Connery Warner Brothers movie called Never Say Never Again, where he plays Bond.
Yeah.
And the guy looks at him and says, "We're going to have some good adulterated sex, aren't we, Mr. Bond?"
I love like, that movie.
Of course, at the end where they go, never, never say never, because if the film would have succeeded on a bigger level, I could have seen Connery play Bond once more again.
Yeah.
I know I'm pipe dreaming, but still, it was that was my Bond.
Well, I think that, you know what, I think that they, Hollywood, you know, hopefully they'll get over some of the issues that they have, but you know there are a lot of different things that they could do to really beef up Hollywood because I don't know about you guys, but I'm in Chicago and I go to the theaters a lot and I don't see people in them. Bethany, what about you? You're in another. We're all in different areas. Do you see people when you go to the show? Is it crowded?
No, very few people actually go to the theater anymore, and that really surprises me.
Too many people wait for it on DVD because I'll tell you the shelf life on a movie is a week to 2 weeks, maybe 3 the most. Yeah. If after the third week, unless it's a bona fide hit, it's out of there.
In Chicago, they don't keep it even more than a week.
Yeah. Well, where I'm at, and it's not just because I'm in Southern Utah, because I heard this even back when I lived in Southern California in the L.A. area. So, obviously there was more money there. It seemed like by the time I hit my college years and I was in San Diego and, of course, in my adult years when I moved back to L.A. County, the theme that I heard from most people about going to the movie was it was just getting so expensive, and to pay the prices you were paying to stand in line forever to get, to get seated because, people would get there early so they could get good seats, when it was like the big movie coming out, the blockbusters and stuff. It just wasn't worth it. When you're paying $8 to $10 a ticket, they're just like, forget it. I'd rather wait till it comes out on DVD or is on HBO Showtime, or pay-per-view or whatever, because being a set
I do like seeing I like the big screen, but I also
I do
like
too.
When there's nobody there, because it's not crowded.
Well, I'm going to say this. Les Mis was wonderful on the big screen.
Yeah.
When Star
you
Trek is
going to
come up,
screen.
I'm going to see it on the big screen.
You
when
have
the next Star Wars movie, whenever J.J. Abrams decides to make it, I'm going to see it on the big screen.
Yeah.
But most of the other movies, I'll wait until the DVD.
Well,
and if it's 3D, good luck, because you ain't getting me buying it.
Now in the theaters, they're having a lot of times 3D, and then they're having not 3D, because a lot of
you
people
get,
don't,
you
the
can
kids,
pick.
Some of the kids don't even like it. you know, a lot of kids don't like
well,
movies.
Well, I will tell
scared,
you this.
Too.
One of the film, The Life of Pi, was done for the 3D market, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful esoteric movie, and it deserves the best director. You know, if Affleck wasn't nominated, yeah, Ang Lee deserved it for Life of Pi.
There she goes.
I couldn't spin it.
You must have had a really good...
I want to talk about the nominees, so let's talk about the writing.
You must
have
had a good time today, Virginia, doing all these songs.
I'm having a heyday.
I know that. I can tell. I know.
Your time's up.
Okay.
Let's talk about the writing.
Da. Okay.
Let's talk about
that
the
was
writing.
The cutest thing the Academy did this
oh,
year.
I
that
love
was cute.
That. I thought that was great.
Because instead of going, you know, I'm doing this and, you know,
Marcia
they had the,
like
the Jaws theme. It was
yeah.
lovely.
Marcia didn't care for it, but I think they should do it every year because I thought that was perfect. Because they, they do need to get off. Otherwise, it becomes too long. But okay,
well, the thing about it is that the problem is that really, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, people work so hard to get a screenplay done, to get in the movies. I mean, and when they get up there, I think they get nervous, and I think they're shocked and shock-a-lot.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the writing. Let's talk about, you know, the adapted screenplay and the original screenplay. I'm just going to throw the two categories together because we don't have time to do every single category.
Yeah.
But we should talk about the writing because, you know, we do have the agent slash, you know, screenwriter in our group with us. So,
I've written a couple myself. I do know, and Marsha I know has as well.
I don't write
but,
screenplay.
But I loved how Hoffman gave the best adapted screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
He read the nominees were read, and then he opens the envelope, and all he says, Mr. Tarantino. Didn't have to say, Quentin, come on down. It was like, you know.
I knew he was going to win because I'll tell you why I think he wins. You know, I think he wins because he is, you know, the most unusual screenwriter around.
I agree. And he pushes the boundaries.
He does.
He
does more than push
the
boundary. He tries to write a script. What was he saying in an interview once that he goes through his library and lets his music do the talking because he will play a song from like Martha Reeve and the Vandellas and put it in the movie and you're like, mm-hmm. This is from the 1960s, but the thing is he's doing 1860s.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, though? I think that's a good thing because, you know, I did a screenplay like that once and I actually I like doing it that way, putting music to it. I think it's a good thing because I think music is such a good part of it, you know. And I think
it causes emotions.
Yeah,
I think,
and I think Quentin Tarantino, you know, he does know how to do that. You know, you know, I think he's just a good writer. You know, he just is. He pushes the envelope, and I think a lot of people in Hollywood don't, and a lot of people would like to do that. So I think that's why he wins. Because that's one of the things, you know. But when it comes down to it. As far as, like, movies go and as far as, like, Ben Affleck, I think for him he should be so happy because he got in a category that was unbelievably hard to win in.
Yeah.
Well, I loved his first thing, what he said when he got to talk. He thanked Steven Spielberg. He didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
But I want to stay with Quentin for 1 second because I just read this today. Donald Trump, yes, Celebrity Apprentice Donald Trump, has called Django Unchained a racist movie. Now, if he would have said it on Saturday or on Friday, fine. He said it on Tuesday. Now, why would you do that unless you're trying to promote the Celebrity Apprentice that you're going to do on Sunday?
Well, I think because it doesn't mean anything if he didn't win.
If Quentin didn't win, Trump would have just turned a blind eye.
Yeah,
but
well,
I think he was waiting to see if he won, and then he has something to say.
Well, I'm glad Tarantino won because when I saw that, I'm sorry to say this, but when I saw that the movie Flight, that it was up for original screenplay, have you guys seen that movie?
Yes, I've
I
seen
did.
It.
It was horrible.
Denzel was fine. Don Cheadle was decent.
I liked the movie.
Everything else was,
good.
You know.
I don't like to fly, but I was watching the movie.
They could have taken the whole first 30 plus minutes and thrown it in the trash can and have told the story faster than they did. It dragged. I thought it was one of the worst scripts I'd ever seen.
I didn't find that at all. I really didn't. I thought it was good.
Maybe
I just felt
I just felt like the lady in it that he meets in the hospital and stuff, I'm like, they didn't even need her. There was no point in her, really.
Well, she then came to live with him.
I know, but I didn't really feel like it helped the story. You want
well,
to
in a way, yeah, because live. Remember, she's well, I don't want to spoil who haven't seen Flight,
yeah.
But she's throughout the rest of the movie, which
yeah.
is fine in little bits and drabs and whatever, but it helps him handle his
right.
last couple of lines, which, of
yeah.
course, they, and I hate to say it, and I like Denzel as an actor, but he was the dark horse of the Oscars in Best Actor. I mean, it was going to be a choice between Daniel Day-Lewis and Hugh Jackman.
Did you know that they said that that was one of the best roles, that was actually the best role. It is the best role that he has ever played was his character in
okay.
Flight.
Does anybody have the barf bag now, please?
And I just went, what?
You guys are talking about Flight, right?
Yep.
Yes, the movie Flight, yes.
Wasn't that based on a true story?
Yes.
No,
wasn't
it was
that
not.
One that
no,
was
it
there
was.
With him?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Yeah,
I think it
was a true
yeah,
story.
Yeah, it was. That's why. Oh, yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's why the girl was in the
yeah,
show.
Because,
and stuff.
Right.
Yeah,
I was going to say that, but that's
yeah.
that is true. It was,
it was a
on.
True
yeah.
story. I don't.
It was a true story. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say one thing though, and I want to get to best song for 1 minute. This is the first year that the songs at least had words that you could understand in best song.
What was that?
This year's winner, this year's nominees, Skyfall at least had words you could hear.
Yeah,
that's true. Hustle and Flow, I think. You know, it was like almost, it was a little, you know, it was too gangster for me. And, you know, the Academy tried to be hip 1 year. I'm like, no, you know. This year with Skyfall and a couple other tunes, they at least had music you could hear and it sounded good. It was a song. I mean, it wasn't things that you could snap as you're leaving the theater. But they used to have those, but they don't have those anymore. You
I
don't have supercalifragilisticexpialidocious
yeah.
anymore.
I really hate the fact that what they do is they put it at the end sometimes, and where people are walking out and they don't remember it. And I think sometimes the music should go in the front, in the beginning of the movie, so people will actually get to hear the song sometimes. And sometimes they don't. They don't pay attention because they're walking out. I like to stay there at the end, but you know, a lot of people are out the door.
Oh, by the way,
know.
You know the Beast of the Southern Wild, the young lady, I don't want to mispronounce her name, Wallace, the young lady, the 9-year-old,
mm-hmm.
that was nominated.
Uh-huh.
She has a second chance at winning an Oscar in 2014. On Christmas Day in 2014, she's going to play Annie.
In the movie? Are they having another Annie movie?
They're doing another Annie. Jay-Z is doing the music, though.
Well, it might be good. I don't know.
And it's produced by Will Smith and Jada Smith.
You know, the thing is, that's what they're doing now. They're putting on too many of the same thing. You know, and that's why a lot of people don't go to show. They don't. They really don't. They watch HBO and Showtime, and they're very happy. That's the thing. And they're not going like they should. And I really would love to know where they get all the numbers, because I go to a lot of movies, and I do not see the action.
Unless
here.
It's a blockbuster, say, like The Avengers or Star
yeah.
Trek. Or Les Mis, something that, you know, on a big screen. No offense, I love Ben Affleck, not personally, but I love Ben Affleck. But I'm gonna rent the DVD of Argo and watch it on DVD.
You know what? It was a very, you know what? I will give it a 10 because I'll tell you what. I always try to figure. It was just a very exciting movie. The entire movie, there was no downtime. Not, you know, like sometimes you just could like be falling asleep or you whatever. There was none. The entire movie went without a downtime, and people were really liked it at the end. That's what I go for. That show was, they did have a lot of people in it, and I always like to see the reaction at the end where they don't, when they don't get up, it's because they're really like touched by it or it affected them.
You're talking
them.
Argo, or are we talking
Argo?
Well, you know what bothered me also was watching Michelle Obama's face. Now, Michelle Obama, excuse the term, is a media whore. And for her to announce the best picture was like when John Wayne announced for Platoon. The look on her face with Argo winning was priceless. I mean, it is not something that you expect.
I have to cut in here. I just went looking up Flight. Flight is not based off a true story. I knew
that.
Well,
they said it was, but they said
no.
It was.
It says Flight looks, and this is actually from
a
movie.
Weird.
Yeah, it says Flight looks very much like a fictionalized true story based on some New York Times bestseller. Actually, it isn't.
No, it's not off a book. I don't think it's off a book. I think it's off a story.
Well, Argo
Argo is, but no, it's
Argo
not. And the reason why I know this is because, believe it or not, my dad used to fly for U.S. Airways.
Yeah.
And flew for U.S. Airways during the time this is supposed to be set in and stuff. And no, that never happened. There's no way that plane can roll like it did at all. And I know that for a fact, being the daughter of an airline pilot.
Well, the thing is, wait a minute. But that doesn't mean it's not on a true story, because, you know, they base it lightly.
It's not on a true story. It's a script. It was a script idea. It was never.
It was. And where they got the idea from was from the airline pilot who did land.
Sully Sullenberger.
Yeah. But it was just because he did that harrowing feat. And so from that, they got the idea to write this script. This is not a real person. Okay.
Okay.
What I find interesting, though.
Wait, Bethany, what were you going to say?
What?
They advertised it as based on a true story when it first came out.
Let's talk about that really quick because.
They did.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Bethany, because. Oh, gosh, I can't think of the name of the stupid movie.
Couple of bars. Maybe I'll pick up the key.
No. It's Encounter of the Third Kind. Is that what it is?
Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yes,
Steven Spielberg.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Where they're out in Nome, Alaska, they tell you it's based based on a true story. They play and they tell you. I kid you not. At the very beginning, they say we're going to play. You'll see the actors' footage, but then there'll be the black and white footage from the interviews. And they play tape recordings from actual sessions with the psychiatrist.
You mean Paranormal Activity?
No.
This is
something like that.
Yeah, I think
right.
In terms of the fourth kind or something.
Fourth kind.
Yeah, it's
you
something
know, can
like
I
that.
Just say, can I just say something? I think, you know, I just looked at something. You know, there's a lot of callers in the.
Are there?
Yes.
Sorry, and, I was.
There's a lot of callers, and if there's anybody that's a caller that wants to ask a question, you know, put it in the chat room and please let us know.
Yeah, well, I'll go over and talk to the screen callers in a second. But yeah, I think it was Encounters of the Fourth. Anyways, I know it was the movie about the psychologist, and they're out in Nome, Alaska. Preface at the very beginning. They actually have an actress who walks out and does the whole thing. It was all fake. None of it was true. Even when they did the side by side, it was supposed to be the actual footage against their retelling of the story. It was all fake. The whole thing was fake. And they tell the audience it's true. I kid you not. So you got to watch Hollywood.
The actress that was in Resident
Evil
was in it. I know. I'm just trying to think of... Mila Jovovich played the woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to remember the film. I know the film even. Mila Jovovich was the woman. It was... she's the one from Resident Evil, too. And I'm trying to think of... I know the film even you're talking about. And I could see it.
She was
the one
that played psychology.
Yeah, okay. Hello? Somebody went in to get the call?
The Fourth Kind.
Yeah, The Fourth Kind.
The Fourth Kind is the name of the movie. Yeah, that was supposedly based on a true story.
Well, I think I Bethany,
Marcia,
I think you're there.
We have a caller who actually has a question for you guys generally.
Yeah, okay. Hello?
Hello.
Hello?
Oh, hi, it's Marcia. Hi.
Hi, it's Mike.
Oh, hi.
So I watched the Oscars. It was pretty good.
Do you have a question? What did you like about it? What was your favorite part?
It felt to me like they really redid the whole thing. I've watched the Oscars in the past. I actually started watching it about 7 years ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was watching it, you know, it was basically just the same old thing. Here's an award, a little bit of a speech, yada, yada, same old thing.
Yeah.
I felt like here in 2013, what they did is they livened it up, in my opinion.
I agree.
Like,
I agree with you. Yeah, I think so, too. I think they livened
it. So what did you think of Shatner at the opening?
I thought Shatner was, you know, it was mixed feelings. It was good.
I think you're right, though. I think they livened it up because I do think it was there wasn't the downtime. For me, there was so much more downtime in the years before. This one, they had, like, at least they had, you know, even if they didn't have all the James Bond, at least they had people that, you know, they did something about it, you know, rather than just letting it go. So I think that that part, I think the show ran smoothly. As I'm not in the show, but I, for watching it, I think it ran really smooth.
Yeah.
Well, like Seth
there's
MacFarlane?
Smooth and then there's too smooth. I think it was too smooth and it was like, let's try to fit it in a time zone and try, you know, that time limit. And it's like, I would have rather
it
went
limit,
over
it
just a little
hours.
With a little
more.
More
3.5 hours. Much more.
I know, but they could have done a lot more with it and they didn't. It was the year of the musical and they left it all to hang. They had Travolta introducing it. Yeah, Travolta's done two musicals.
Hi, this is Virginia. You're in our screen room. Did you have a question for our host?
No, maybe not. Hello?
Yeah.
No.
Nope.
Okay. No, I don't. I think the Academy Awards. I actually do think it. I think it ran well. I think Seth was good. I think it was entertaining. Sure, were you know, it could have done other things, but I think this was a start in the right direction because they did have a lot of people watching it that weren't watching it before.
Yeah,
so I think that's a good thing. Now let's get some movies.
Yeah, Bethany, are we getting any comments in the chat room at all?
No, I'm in there too. No, I no.
No.
I don't even know where they all came. There really are a lot, but they may not want to ask questions, which is fine.
Which is fine.
Because even I call in a lot.
Yeah. Well, we thank Mike for calling in. That was nice, you know, just to kind of share his view. And
yeah, I like to hear somebody what they think about.
And
this.
I'm sorry to make everybody feel bad that you can't believe Hollywood now when they say based on a true story because they can lie to you when they do that too.
Well, you know, this is the other thing. Okay, while we have all these people in the chat room, you know, Bethany and I have a blog, with, you know, on the romance. It's called Authors Talk Romance, Authors Talk Romance, blogspot.com. And if there's people out there that would love to be on the show, please let me know, Marcia from Michigan Avenue Media, and I'd love to hear opinions on the show from people. So I would like to have guests of readers or... Because it doesn't have to be writers, because we're always looking to see what people are liking in romance or other things, too. I mean, we're looking for readers, because that's what I'd love to hear from. So I think it's great that he called in, because I want to hear what people think, you know.
Yeah.
And I have this little show called Anything Goes that's Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard.
Go ahead, finish.
No, I just, that's all I needed to say. 11 p.m. Eastern Standard.
Virginia
it's a lovely show.
Virginia and I are quiet. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're letting you go. All right, well, let's move forward. Let's talk about the technical, because, I mean, it seemed like for a while everybody was going crazy with the whole, and I know it's a sound word because I know Life of Pi won, but, you know, I'm talking like full effects, CGI, and I'm talking, you know, like Avatar CGI, okay, and not that I don't like the movie Avatar. I love the movie Avatar, but... And I'm talking about Cameron's Avatar, not the cartoon version that was made into a movie. Anyhow, and I know the Life of Pi won, but I'm glad it did because it didn't feel like it wasn't fantasy, you know, like the whole sci-fi fantasy type CGI. It was CGI, but it was real life. It was very surreal. How did you guys feel? Because I know The Hobbit was up for visual effects.
You know, I think Ang Lee is a great director, whatever.
Yeah.
And I didn't see this movie. I was going to, and I will see the movie, you know. But I heard that it's really good to see it in the theater because of, you know, all the special effects and, you know, things like that. But I think he's a really good director. And I liked when he thanked the Academy God or whatever. I thought that was good. You know. Because, you
do
know,
you think Spielberg
like.
Was shut out?
No, I don't think so. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I like Spielberg. I mean, obviously, I don't think there's not one movie.
No, I don't think I don't think he felt that way either. Probably.
No, I think he realizes he has won so much, and so many of his movies have been like nominated for multiple things.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I think it was nice for him just to sit back and be like, wow.
Yeah, I think
you know,
they're
noticing other people besides myself.
Yeah, I've seen him on interviews, and I think he's very good about that. I think
he's very,
you know, he started very young, and I think he is appreciative of all these young guys and newer people coming in. I do think that.
I think he feels good knowing that there's a new generation behind him.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think so. And I think that I think it's great that there is.
What
and
did you think of Brave winning the best animated this year?
I'm glad. You know what? I was all for it, and I'll tell you why. And believe it, and I can talk about this category hands down because I've seen every single
one
of those.
You have kids.
Right.
You can talk.
I have kids. I see them all, and I have them all. And I was happy Brave went. Now, when I saw who it was up against, I was going, oh my gosh, this is, it was going to be hard. Now, I didn't care about the stupid Franken dog one, but.
hey, don't mess with my Tim Burton movie.
Oh,
it's one of the few that I can watch Tim Burton.
No. I'm a huge Tim Burton fan. I just didn't care for Frankenweenie, okay? I'm sorry. It was not one of the best Tim Burton movies.
So what do you think that Brave had that other movies don't have?
What I liked about Brave, I watched like Wreck-It Ralph like 7 times the night before the Academy happened because my daughter loves it so much. But what I'm glad Brave won is because it wasn't your and when I went and saw it with my girls, it wasn't your typical Disney princess movie. You know, she didn't marry the prince at the end. It was.
But it also was the original. It reminded me. It was less computer animated and more classic animated.
It was classic animation. It is CGI'd, but it doesn't feel CGI'd.
But it's like Beauty and the Beast was CGI too. But the thing is, it had regular animation in it.
Yeah,
and it didn't
the movement didn't feel computerized. It definitely felt more old school. But I know a lot of people when Brave came out, I know a lot of people talked about, well, you had the mom that's smart, and then you had like you know the stupid you know half crazy you know loopy dad. And granted, yeah, but I think they really captured the culture of that time period and of being out there on the aisles. But I liked it. Like I said, it wasn't your typical fairy tale princess romance story. It wasn't. It was really about independence. But it wasn't independence where it was like, you know, reject your parents and don't listen to what they said. What I liked about it is she was still able to be who she is, but she also learned that her mom was there and her father were there to guide her.
I think it's interesting. Listen, whenever they do these animated movies, they make a lot of money. They do the kids love them, and I think this is a great category. I mean, you know, it's a really good category because the kids love them.
Let me ask this of you, because of course Disney is known nowadays for its sequels. Do you think there's going to be a Disney sequel to Brave? They haven't said it yet. They're more focusing on Monster University, which is the sequel to Monster Incorporated.
I think it would be a big mistake. I think it'd be like when they did the sequels to The Little Mermaid and when they did the sequels to Beauty and the Beast. And when they did the sequels to Cinderella, which were all tragic, and Aladdin, I think if they did, it should just go straight to DVD. It should not go into the theater.
Well, wait a second. I will say there was one sequel to me that worked immensely well, and I can't wait for the next one. It's called Toy Story 4.
Well, Toy Story works, though, for sequels.
I'm saying 3 worked well. 4, I want to see what they're going to do with it.
But I think when they do it with the princess movies, I don't think it works as well, because usually they end up, but they end up dicking around with the storyline and twisting it to try and make the sequels work, and it's stupid, because they always change the timeline or the events of the timeline for the next one. It's like, you just told the story, you can't change it just to make this one work.
Cinderella 2 and 3 is a perfect example of that.
Oh, perfect example of that. So... my kids want to watch.
I hate when they do that again. Toy Story 2 and 3.
Yeah.
I don't know what 4 is going to be like because both Hanks and Tim Allen, they were going to record them this spring.
Yeah.
I don't know what the script is.
They don't mess with the timeline with Toy Story, which is why it works, but. You know, Brave, and I can speak of this as being a children's writer. The thing with being in the children's and young adult writing world is they always say, you know, don't have the all-seeing adults. Adults should play very minimal, you know, should be very minimally seen or completely in the background. A lot of books, because of those statements, a lot of writers, it doesn't matter if it's script writing or if it's, you know, in the short story or book, you know, novel writing categories, because they say that and they want the kids to be the main focus and the kids solving the problems and to empower children, they tend to make the adults usually stupid, and or, you know, like the kids are smarter than them. So
well, I think, you know, one of the problems is, which I think, you know, we have a lot of people that are listening to the show and will be archiving it. When, you know, the animated films are done at the studios a lot, and a lot of people, unfortunately, don't get a shot at putting their screenplays to play because of that, you know, and that's why they do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you know, they keep doing the same things that are successful.
Because
but,
they make money.
Yeah, well, yeah, right, but I want to talk
sad,
about...
Which is sad because, you know, there are probably a lot of people with very good ideas and they
right.
don't always need to do sequels because there's so many people out there that are talented. If they would
right.
just open the doors to new writers, they would be... It wouldn't be so... You know, it's just unfortunate that it's just the same of the same a lot of times. And I think kids are really smart enough to take one movie, then do the next one. You know, they're
oh,
fine
I agree.
With it.
I agree. But that's one thing why I like why Brave won because... In Brave, they didn't make the, I mean, except for the dad being a little loopy,
yeah.
They didn't make the parents completely stupid.
Right.
They also didn't have her rebel against her mom where her mom just had to deal with it either. I mean, they came to mutual respect and understanding.
Yeah.
And that's why I think Brave won. I mean, to be honest, it was because it was like, yes, you can be empowered as a child. Yes, you can speak your mind. However, you need to do it in a respectful way, and you also need to be able to come to a mutual understanding with your parents. And if they say, you know, whatever, then you need to respect that and realize your time will come. And then the flip side was, is as parents, you know, when your kids hit a certain point in their life, which I'm going through because I do have a, you know, soon-to-be 7-year-old in my house, you know, you have to let them to start living their life. As much as you want to still dictate to them, you can't.
Right.
So
yeah.
I liked Brave for that because it showed that. And it wasn't, you know, just, oh, well, I'm just going to do what I want because I'm 16 and,
well,
you know,
I think they do
yeah.
need to show, you know, and they
well,
are showing, you know, female characters as well, you know, in the children's because I think when you're growing up, they're showing girls that are, you know, a little more gutsy than they were in the past, which is good because they need to be gutsy in the world, in
yeah.
the real world.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, let
so
me
I
ask
that,
you this, because all the this year's nominees, other than Lincoln, even though we've seen Lincoln before, you know, in many different versions, TV and everything else. But most of the Les Mis we've seen before, too, but not
yeah.
as a musical. But everything else we've seen, even though Django, you could say, yeah, they've seen it before, too. Look at the Fred Williamson and those kind of black exploitation movies they did in the 70s. But still, all the films here were semi-original.
Yeah.
And there was nobody that, okay, Pi got 4 wins. But nobody had this tidal wave of one film won it all, if you know what I mean.
No, I thought it was very diverse, and I thought that was great.
I think that's great. Yeah, it should be. Yeah,
it was, and I was, and I'm as much as I love Les Mis. Gosh, I keep getting tongue tied on that tonight.
Les Miserables.
Yeah, I know, but as I'm going with Mis, because I just keep getting tongue-tied. I don't know why. I was fine
That's
earlier.
Why they call it Les Mis, because nobody
yeah.
cares. Who cares?
Anyways.
The Miserables.
I always say it to him, like, oh, it's the Miserables. Anyways, as much as I love that, the movie, and I think Hugh Jackman just got an amazing voice. Hathaway was okay. I definitely think they could have probably found a stronger singer. I think her acting was beautiful. Her singing was subpar to me. But I'm glad it didn't win for Best Picture because exactly as you said, Ben, I mean, it's a story that has been out for so long. So I'm glad that it went where it should have. You know, where it did win was good because, you know, they had some really great stuff going on with the set and costume design and effects and blah, blah, blah.
Well, Lincoln was the same way, even
and
though
Lincoln
Daniel
was,
Day-Lewis was...
the same
was,
way,
what,
I agree, because, you know, those Link, people...
Were, even though Lewis was totally perfection as Lincoln, if you listen to
yeah.
Lewis's voice...
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't mean Jerry Lewis.
I know who you mean.
When you listen to Daniel Day-Lewis talk, he, you know, and he was totally... believable.
How do we
know
what Lincoln? How do we really know what Lincoln sounds like? I mean,
we don't.
There are some in the archives, in the National Archives, and some other places of his voice on a machine of some sort.
It's the wax. They used to use a wax type recording.
So there is one or two. That doesn't mean. I mean, he might have found the voice somehow. I don't know. I don't care. I think that Daniel Day-Lewis was excellent in it.
Yeah.
But
was,
yet
but
on the other
he's
hand,
he's a great actor. He's a great actor.
Yeah, but I think they should have a cap after two or three. That's it. You know, I mean, Clooney should leave the stage. He's got his best supporting. He's got this. Now, if they give him a best actor, then leave the stage.
What do you mean? Leave the stage. You mean
after two or three awards? Okay. Think of it like the Emmys too. After two or three awards, bow out. Give somebody else the opportunity. Denzel has two Oscars, okay? Tom Hanks has two Oscars.
No,
he has three.
Are you saying not to give them, not to put them in awards anymore?
Yes.
No, I don't agree with you on that.
How could you do that if they got a good performance?
Think of John Larroquette. Now, John Larroquette, we're not talking Oscars here at the moment. He won four times for Dan Fielding, and he said after the fourth time, he says, enough. You know, I'm not putting my name in.
Well, my only thing with Clooney is, and I'm sure everybody's going to have a cow, and you can just email me and tell me how wrong I am, but every role I see Clooney in, I see Clooney. I don't see a change that much in his character.
Well, I think the movies he takes are very serious.
The one he won
the
Oscar for his best supporting role, it was a total diverse thing from Clooney, the normal, hi, I'm a George Clooney kind of guy.
Okay, say which movie it is because people might not know.
Oh, shoot, you asked me to remember this. I don't even have IMDb up.
Wad it up.
Is that like The American? The American?
No, it's not The American. This was the one that he did where he was a prisoner of war and it was human rights. And he was beaten and hurt and everything else. And asking me to remember this, huh? But
he won the
Oscar for Best Supporting in there. And it wasn't Batman, thank God.
The thing is, though, I mean, but if they deserve it, I mean, you know, I mean, I don't think,
I think they deserve it, too.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if they have 10 awards. I mean, it's really a tough performance.
I did feel like, though, that they were looking more at originality, in the things that were winning. It wasn't like they were just kept picking, you know, stuff because they were being partial to whatever, and I was glad. Now,
it is hard. Okay, I will say it is very difficult to adapt a book, okay, and if somebody is lucky enough to get an adaptation award, because it is really hard, because it's not your own voice. You're speaking through someone else's voice, and
to throw out a whole bunch of information,
because
the film, by the way, I'm talking about is Siriana, where he was won his Best Supporting Academy Award nomination.
Okay.
I think he's a big producer.
People in Hollywood like him because I think he's a big supporter of people, and I think he doesn't ever seem to be a poor sport. So I think that's why people like him. You know, he seems to roll with the punches. You know, and if he doesn't win, he takes it more lightly than others do. I think he's very popular and he's successful, and I do think he's proud of people that he's friends with when they win.
Okay, can I just mention the one nominee for Best Picture that I was like, what the heck?
Okay.
Is why was Silver Linings Playbook in there? I'm sorry. I thought that was – I didn't care for that movie either.
Well, a lot of – I've heard – there's pro and cons. You know, look, I think it was a really – I think it was a very good movie. I think they had some good acting. I think that Bradley Cooper brought something to
De Niro blew my doors off with in Silver Lining. Christoph Waltz did basically a bounty hunter. He did the antithesis of the Nazi he played in the Nazi he played in Inglourious Basterds. Excuse me, I'm allowed to say that word, Glorious Bastards.
Sorry.
Because that's the title. It was the antithesis.
I think there was good acting. I agree. I just didn't care for the overall movie. I just didn't feel... I think people who were nominated for stuff was great, but for the movie itself, I know people are going to freak out.
Yeah, but sometimes it is surprising how the Academy and how they pick these things. You just never know.
Oh, I agree,
because I
remember when Pulp Fiction won, and I've seen Pulp Fiction, and there are some classic, you know, phrases and scenes in Pulp Fiction that, you know, I bring up to this day. But when it won, I was like, really?
he brought to life different. He also helped a lot of actors that were, you know, on their way out come back in, and I think that was a good thing, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know what scares me is next year's Academy Award will have this film. Mark my words, this film will be, somebody will be nominated out of this one, called Monument Men.
Oh, I've heard of
Clooney
that.
Directs, stars, and helped write the screenplay.
Yeah, I've heard about this
The
one.
Film has Daniel Craig, Matt Damon, Clooney, John Goodman, Bill Murray, Cate Blanchett, Jean Jardin, I hope I pronounce it right. That's the one that won last year for The Artist.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, it's got so many Oscar winners. I mean, this is the one that's next year going to, just mark my words, this is the one that's going to be nominated next year.
Well, I think what the younger people are trying to do now, which does to me seem very a good idea, they're bringing back some of the people, like, and they're putting a lot more than just one star in it. They're putting in several stars to make a movie really blend better, rather than just having a lot of new people and one star, because I think somewhere along the line here, a lot of them are probably taking less money, maybe doing a back end of the book of the movie so they could be in it. And I think that's a good idea, because you're getting five or six stars in a movie that wasn't really done a lot of years. They haven't done that, and I think that's good.
Yeah.
That's why you're getting good movies, because you're getting.
Yeah, but you know what I like instead, Marcia, and you know what I would rather have. Even though it wasn't nominated for much this year, The Hobbit. There was no, Martin, who was in the Holmes movies, the Sherlock series from PBS and BBC, played Bilbo. You had, of course, Gandalf played by Sir Ian McKellen. But you had basically unknowns. Star Wars, the original Star Wars, my Star Wars, Star Wars Empire and Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Hamill was nobody. Carrie Fisher was nobody. Harrison Ford at that time was nobody,
right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they made those three films more important because you didn't have Kurt Russell. You didn't have a Sylvester Stallone. I mean, and those two people were...
But then when they made those movies, they didn't realize, you know, they, like, those were people starting out, and okay, and that's what they did. That's a good thing. But however, they're also bringing back people that work well together. And in the older movies, when they had, like, you know, certain stars working with other stars, it worked because they work well together.
Because we had the studio system. We don't have the studio system.
No. We have a lot of people making decisions.
We just got a comment through our website. Wow, this is the first time this has happened. Through the World of Ink Network website. Colby Taylor, representing as Suzanne, said, I have to say, start this by telling you, I absolutely love listening to Michael Palmer interview and listening to the interview. Such an amazing show overall. My name is Kobe, and I'd love to introduce you to Susan Hale. She's a former doctor.
Because Michael Palmer was on Fran's show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great show. Bethany.
Yeah, really liked it. So
yeah,
we have somebody who's really enjoying our shows and,
oh,
and everything
That's
we
great.
Have going on, yeah.
Thank you. We like that. We love to
hear that. We like that, too.
We can never hear that enough.
Yeah, I always love when you get fan mail, like with Anything Goes or with your shows, and they say, I heard you on Marcia's show, this, that, and the other. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well,
you don't know
Fran
what to
Bethany,
do.
Fran and Bethany has picked up, they picked up a lot of new people. Bethany,
yeah.
I mean, you know that. I mean, so that's good because, you know, some of these authors are really, I mean, all of these authors are good that Fran has on, but, you know, we've had some really good feedback on that and our, which we should get into the, it's almost, you know, 10:30
yeah,
and people need
John
to probably go to
come
bed.
Back on soon.
And, right. And the thing is, right, and the thing is that we have, like, a children's show. I mean, we have a lot, and I think, you know, I will thank Blog Talk for, you know, really featuring us. And all we have all our shows, the people blend together, and which makes us getting, you know, very successful because we have a lot of different kind of shows. So I should thank everybody that does the shows because it really does work well,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yes.
from each other, you know. And so because we don't all have the same shows.
No, we don't. And this show is dynamically different because there's three of us, you know, that sit here and chat kind of, which isn't, you know, like any of our other shows in any regard either. Really quickly before we get to the end of our show and our upcoming shows that we have, because I know we need to move on to that, Marcia. But overall, and I'm just kind of curious, what did you think of having the First Lady, you know, presenting? I know Bennett was like he was really waiting for Zero Dark Thirty to win just to watch her reaction.
That's so cool. I would have liked to have seen just that. You know, I like the Argo one. Please don't get me wrong. But I would have loved to watch the look on her face when Zero Dark Thirty would have won.
Well, I think, you know, listen, I think that these movies, you know, look, these are like, I've heard people say, and which the truth is, these movies are, you know, this is entertainment. Regardless of what anybody says, yeah, they're true to life, they're this and that, but whatever, they're movies, okay? Mm-hmm. This is fiction, okay? And it could be based on truth, but there's still fiction in a lot of them. So I think that as long as people, and, you know, my last words would be, as long as people are entertained, this is good. And I think this year, I think there were a lot of people entertained. And
well,
let me ask
you this, both of you ladies.
Mm-hmm.
If they would have announced that Django Unchained would have won, what do you think the look on her face would be?
I don't think, you know what, I actually don't think, I didn't pay any attention to that, actually. I was so happy that Ben Affleck won. I was, like, really happy.
But, you know, she looked at it, and she opened the envelope, and it was almost a sigh of relief, like, and the winner is Argo.
I didn't get that. I didn't get that at all.
I picked up on that, too.
I think that she probably thought it was a fun thing to do. She was all dressed up like a party, and I think she was having a fun time. And I think
even invite me to the White House for this. I would have loved to have come.
Yeah, I think she really did have a good time. I did hear one thing, which is very interesting. I don't know which country it was. I'm not sure that they changed her outfit. They put it on camera because she was wearing a sleeveless and more of a cutout dress. So I did that. That's really kind of a shame because, I mean, it was a pretty dress, you know, and it wasn't like she was, you know, sexy or anything. She was just, you know, and I thought she was having a good time doing it. So whatever.
I have to admit, all the times I've seen her for things, I think this was one of the times she actually looked one of her best.
I thought she was probably having a good time, you know, doing.
Well, you know, it's funny. You know, Barack has a small cameo in Zero Dark Thirty.
Oh yeah.
I didn't see.
Would she have gone? Yes. Barack, you won.
All right, 10:30. Like you always say, you know.
I will say one thing though. It would have been better if the President of the United States would have announced that.
Yeah.
I think we're not ready for that yet, okay? You know. But I do think that, look, they're regular people. They like movies.
Barack Obama says he does a movie night once a week with his wife and kids.
I think it's great to hear because I like everybody should like movies.
But you got to remember, they can't go to the Cineplex Odeon and watch a movie. They got to watch it, you know, the studio sends them a screener. And they watch the movie.
I do like the fact that it does show to a little tiny bit of a degree that they're just like the rest of us Americans in some things. And notice I noticed the some things.
Well, right. But no, the truth is this is universal. It's entertainment. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, and on that note, we should say, you know.
What shows we have coming up?
Okay, we have JD is on
this Saturday.
Fran Lewis's show is canceled for this week. Will be on next week. Then Bethany, they have one next week, but we have JD's on Saturday morning early.
Right.
But it's Bennett, a great kids show.
Yeah. Bennett, do you have a show Friday?
Yes, I do. I have the lovely Barbara Watkins as my guest on Anything Goes, and that is 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, but not on
Don't
the World
forget
of Eat.
To come.
Yeah, it's not on the World of Eat. It's on Blog Talk Radio, but not under the World of Eat Network. It's on a separate
channel. And Barbara Watkins
channel.
Is a good writer.
And Barbara Watkins
has
some great books. And we have a mystery guest on tomorrow's show with Barbara Watkins, and I can't say who. I will tell you to read A Six-Pack of Fear, and you may know who it is.
I'm not going to tell you who I know who it is already, but I'm not saying.
That's for my fun. You have to read Six-Pack of Fear, the new book, to be able to know who it is.
I know who it is.
And then JD's show, JD Holiday's show at Storytime Gather Round is at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. But it's podcasts afterwards. I think it's like it's up within 30 minutes after the show airs. So it's a great show for parents to put on for their kids when they're cleaning the house, like when the parents are cleaning the house or whatever, because they get to hear stories being read to them. So, I mean, how
do you
have
that? And
it's
great for adults, too, because I enjoy listening to it sometimes.
Well,
I
because
I
feel
too.
Like
I
I'm being
to
read
too.
To again.
I love this show.
Okay, you have a show Monday, you think?
Well,
or not?
I'm working out the details on that.
Okay.
So
we have a show. Bethany and I have a show Tuesday. It's a very interesting show. It's on marketing. Marnie McNiff will be with us, and Leah Christensen. It's going to be on blogging and marketing and you know, how to get into the targeted market that Leah Christensen is as a romance reader who became a promotional romance.
Leah Christensen is one of the best people in the world, but don't tell her I told you that.
You know her?
I know her by reputation. She is very, very good.
Well, you just got broadcast saying it, and she can play it back in the podcast. So ha ha ha.
She is very, very good. I respect the woman immensely.
And she does romance promotions for people, and she's like a, you know, Girl Friday for a lot of people. So that's a good thing. So she'll
she's
be
a
Girl
on Friday,
Marnie.
Saturday, Sunday, and
Bethany will we'll have that, and because Marnie will be on, who does our, you know, Facebook and Twitter, and we're going to talk about all the things.
She handles our social media aspects like the World of Ink. So,
and I really don't like doing social media. Yeah, I do too much of it.
Do you know who Fran's going to have on a week from this Thursday? Week from tomorrow?
Yeah. Well, yes, wait.
Dr. Mark Rubenstein. Isn't that the one we're going to have?
Well, no, but this was this week because, right, but she had to cancel the show. So.
We're doing it next week.
She doesn't have a show next week. I think it's 2 weeks. She's got Elliot Patterson.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's
what
we have lined up, and then depending on what happens, because there's a scheduling glitch happening. I may or may not have a show this coming Monday, but I am going to have a new author who's starting to do a who's going to be touring with us at the World of Ink, Scott Casely, and. He has a YA book. It's a coming of age YA book, so I would say it's probably more for like 16, 17 and up YA. When I say YA, because there is some language in it and some scenes and situations that is
which
more
is good because kids swear and
just saying it's geared more towards your older teen and early 20 age group. I'm not talking like when I say YA, like don't give it to your 12-year-old, please. Kind of book, but it's gonna be a fun tour, and that actually kicks off next week. The tour kicks off next week, and then we're figuring out the scheduling issue with the show. So once we get that figured out, it'll either be this Monday or the 11th. So one or the other.
They can always find us on Blog Talk. You know they've changed things, so it's a little difficult to find things, which we are having trouble finding ourselves some of the things. it's changed. I think it's for the better.
I don't know about you. I found myself. It's just the path gets a little musty.
I think tonight's show was fun, and I'm looking forward.
I think we had
to
a great time.
We have our next one. Yes.
Yeah, which will be in 2 weeks, I think.
In 2 weeks. 2 weeks in in 2 weeks in March, the second Tuesday in March will be our next What Is Success show, and.
March 13th. Thank God it's not a Friday.
we'll be talking about, you know, whatever movie or TV show or a book that we've recently watched or read, and just kind of talk about that. And we'll each of us will have a different one.
Right, and you know what,
we
could also do, if somebody, you know, wants to talk about a certain show, if they email us, we'll be happy to talk about it, because, I have so much on my DVR and demand. I mean, it's like, I watch, you know, a lot. Well, I'm up a lot, because, you know,
And we would love for listeners to call in and share, you know, because there's a lot of new shows that are coming to the end of their first season or just gearing up for their premieres. So I would love to hear, you know, what people, like, I'm really looking forward to Under the Dome this summer with Stephen King's Under the Dome.
And The Following, I mean, there's a lot of good things on
The Following I'm not too thrilled with, but there'll be other shows.
But Kevin Bacon, I heard people, I have to watch it.
It's already renewed for the second season. They've already said yes.
We're not talking about The Following. And by the way, Bennett, we will be talking about that in 2 weeks, because that's the one I'm going to be talking about.
I want to talk about Banshee.
Well, you talk about that then in 2 weeks. So anyway, so
I'll talk about like anything anybody wants to talk about, because I don't care. I do not care. All right. Good night, everybody, and thank you very much, Stephanie. Thank you for working the phone.
Yes, thank you.
Wait a second. This is the normal music we should be leaving out with.